Hello and welcome to Your Best Self, a podcast about careers. I'm your host, Faye Rowlands, lawyer and journalist, and together in this podcast, we'll hear from inspirational people spanning the worlds of business, politics, law, media, science, art, and more, sharing what they love most about their jobs, how they handle setbacks, and offer listeners their tips to career success. I hope this podcast informs and inspires you to think big and encourages you to go after the dream job you want. Well, after a successful 25-year career in IT, my guest this week decided it was time for a change. Nearly 8 years ago, Maeve Mullen took redundancy from her job as an IT project manager at Bank of Ireland and went back to education to pursue her love of Irish history. Inspired by her father's love of the subject, she now works as an Irish genealogist with Finders International here in Dublin. In this episode, she tells me what inspired her to make the change and what she enjoys about her current role. We discuss everything from tracing your family tree to Irish-American presidents and how she's been helping the children of Ireland's mother and baby homes reconnect with their birth families. I hope you enjoy the episode. So Maeve, I think a lot of our listeners will be thinking at home, what is a genealogist? What does a genealogist do?
Yes. So a genealogist is somebody who researches a family tree. So collates records, births, deaths, marriage records, census records, probate. There's a whole variety of different records that can be gathered up and collated in order to put together a full family tree. And doing that research is the work of a genealogist. I am specifically a probate genealogist, which is exactly that. It's collating a family tree for purposes of probate on behalf of Irish solicitors.
So Maeve, my understanding there would be you guys would step in at Finders International where somebody has passed away and unfortunately they cannot easily locate the next of kin to distribute the estate, so that you're involved in tracking down the beneficiaries to that estate. How does that process work? I mean, where do you even begin with a case like that?
Exactly. So a typical inquiry from an Irish solicitor would be where the deceased person made a will and there are beneficiaries named in the will and they may have been named and addresses given, but the beneficiary no longer lives at that address or has passed away. And in some instances, beneficiaries are named in a will and there is no address given. So it's figuring out where they are now. And that's what we do on behalf of solicitors, is that we locate those people named in wills. The other scenario is where the deceased person didn't make a will at all. They passed away intestate. And in that instance, a family tree is required in order to confirm all of the entitled relatives. And that's where we come in as well, providing that full family tree and a report and all of the due diligence around the searches carried out.
And Maeve, I think when a lot of people do think of genealogists, they think, you know, the traditional, oh, I'm searching for my family tree, my ancestry, where I'm from. How did you become involved in this line of work?
I suppose years ago, really. Initially, my primary degree was a BSc in computer applications from DCU. And I worked in Bank of Ireland as an IT project manager for 25 years. But I was doing genealogy as a hobby, inspired by my dad, Dan. And I did a night class in Irish genealogy in UCD.
It's quite a leap to make, I think, from going from IT all of a sudden to genealogy. Now, I can actually understand as well how perhaps an IT background would be beneficial for the line of work that you're in currently. How did you find that transition? Was that something that you'd kind of always been thinking in the back of your head of something you'd like to do in an ideal world, or how did that come about?
Well, I suppose the transition was certainly daunting and scary. I won't say that it wasn't daunting and scary. It definitely was, because when I was leaving Bank of Ireland, I couldn't see how I would make a living or, you know, have a full-time job in genealogy. The other people that I could see at the time that were working in genealogy were working part-time, or perhaps they were retired and this was a hobby that created a little bit of income for them. But I couldn't initially see how I could have a full-time job. But I suppose it was just the way things evolved. After taking redundancy from Bank of Ireland, one of the aspects of that was that the bank paid for a university course. So I did a master's in Irish history in Maynooth. Absolutely adored that course. Loved my thesis. My supervisor was Dr. Jennifer Redmond. She gave me huge support. And I suppose at that point, I really got into women's history. And my thesis was women in North County Monaghan in the revolutionary period, 1912 to 1923. And absolutely loved all that research about World War One nurses and coming among and all of that stuff. And I suppose Irish history is great as the backdrop or the context for the world that people were living in. So from a genealogy point of view, it really gives you the story behind the people that you're researching.
And had there always been an interest in history in your family and Irish history?
Yes, absolutely. My dad had always been interested in history, was always interested in genealogy. He would have done our family history research the hard way years ago with a pencil and paper and looking at microfilms in repositories before the internet was ever invented. So I would have gotten the interest from him.
And what did you find out when you know, you tracked down your dad, tracked down your own family tree? Did you find out anything interesting there that maybe you hadn't known previously?
There's lots of little bits and pieces that you discover along the way. And lots of people have said to me, oh, have you finished your own family history? And really, you never finish your own family history, because more records are being digitized and more records become available that you can add more and more to your own family history. One thing that I love about my granddad's 1911 census was that, as well as being a farmer, my grandfather, Michael Mullin the Bard, also wrote poetry, which was quite unusual at the time. And I love the fact that in the 1911 census, he writes down his occupation or his profession as agriculturalist rather than a farmer. So everybody else used the used the word farmer, but he decided he would go for the big word and the unusual word of agriculturalist.
Has it made it easier now, do you think, now that a lot of things have gone digital? I appreciate that sometimes the history goes so far back that we haven't quite digitized everything, but has it made it easier, do you think?
Absolutely. I suppose the internet was made for genealogy and genealogy was made for the internet. They just complement each other. There are still records that we need to physically consult. We would regularly visit repositories, the General Register Office, the National Archives, National Library, Pier Street Library, the Registry of Deeds. We would regularly visit all these repositories, but we're blessed that we can actually do an awful lot of research online.
Maeve, if people are looking to start tracking down some of their family ancestry, where would be the best place for them to begin?
To begin with, the best thing to do is to gather up all of the information that is within the family already. So to chat to other older relatives about what they know about the family already, and then start putting together a family tree with the records that are online. So for Irish families, the 1911 and the 1901 census are a fabulous resource. And then there are births, deaths and marriages online for free also on irishgenealogy.ie. So like that's a really good start.
It's amazing to be doing something that you love. But I can also imagine that in a lot of these cases where you're trying to track down family members, there's probably a lot of sad circumstances there as well. Maybe family disputes or family members estranged from one another for whatever reason. You know, what is that like? I suppose you're becoming very intimate in a way with people's lives and maybe learning things about people's families that they may not have even known themselves.
Absolutely. And what we find is that we would regularly be contacting somebody completely out of the blue. But very often, people are not as interested in the inheritance that they might be entitled to as the connections with the rest of the family and parts of the family that they have lost contact with. I suppose there is a lot of sadness. A lot of the cases that we would work on would be Irish people who emigrated to the UK, perhaps didn't get married, or if they did get married, they didn't have any children. And now they have passed away in a nursing home and they don't have any next of kin, but it's just known that they were from Ireland. And so we're asked to go in search of their Irish family. And the Irish family may not have heard from that person for years and years and years. So there are a lot of sad stories of people becoming disconnected. But when you get contacted by finders, it's an opportunity to maybe dig into the family history again and reconnect, you know, so that can be a very happy byproduct of the whole process.
And are there any cases, Maeve, that down through the years that you've worked on that have really resonated with you or just stuck out in your mind?
Most cases are very interesting because they're the story of somebody's life. One particular case that was pulling at all of our heartstrings in the office was a case. An Irish solicitor was distributing an estate for a deceased man. He had never gotten married and didn't have any children. And it was his niece or nephew, I think, who was administering his estate. But he had been engaged to a lady. And when he bought his house, he included her name on the deeds of the house. But her family did not approve of him and didn't allow them to get married. And she ended up marrying somebody else and having a family. But he never changed the deed on his house, and he never married anybody else. And so the solicitor asked us to see if we could locate this lady, and we did. And it was just really, really, really sad. She was so sad that he had never married anybody else.
Had she known that she had been listed on the deeds of the house?
No, she had no idea, because I suppose they weren't allowed to. You know, her family said, no, we don't want you to go out with him anymore. And we certainly don't want you to marry him.
Wow, that's an amazing story. How long ago was that?
It must have been like 40 or 50 years ago. Another case that we had recently, we do come across birth records of babies from the various different mother and baby homes in the course of our research. But there was one case that we were researching recently. It was actually a US case, and where the lady who had passed away had been a baby born in Shanross Abbey in Ross Gray, which was mother and baby home. And it's actually the same place as is featured in the film Philomena. But in the story of the family that we were researching, it turned out that the mother, she wasn't married and she had had two babies in Shanross Abbey. But her family must have been supporting her hugely, because she actually got out with her babies, and they weren't adopted, and they both lived. So one of them had gone to America and had gotten married and didn't have any children. So that's why the research was coming back to Ireland again. And her brother had gone to the UK, and he did have family over there. So we were able to get in touch with them. But I suppose there's every single case has lots of interesting twists and turns, and you never know where the research is going to bring you.
Wow, that's another amazing story. And had they known about each other, do you know, had the brother in the UK known about the existence of having a sister?
They knew of each other, but they weren't in touch. I think her brother had died many years ago. So when he passed away, maybe that connection was lost.
It's amazing. And I suppose you're pulling together all the pieces of this jigsaw puzzle in a way. It's sort of like trying to solve a mystery, or really playing an investigator role. I mean, what sort of qualities do you need to succeed in this area?
Certainly curiosity and attention to detail is very important, to leave no stone unturned.
And another interesting fact on the topic of genealogy that I came across earlier in the week, I saw this diagram to suggest that 23 out of the 46 US presidents had Irish ancestry. And of course, we all claim Joe Biden, the most recent president of the United States. But I thought that was very interesting to see and trace that 50% of them now trace back to have Irish ancestry.
Absolutely. It's amazing, really. We always knew that there was a lot of emigration from Ireland to the US. And I suppose the 1 million Irish people who left Ireland during the famine is something that lots of people know about. But really, there's been Irish emigration for centuries before and even since that. And yeah, it just shows you how Irish people have done very well in America to get to a place where they become the president. I'd be looking forward to the first female American president who has Irish ancestry. That'll be good.
That'll be a great day indeed. And Maeve, are there ever cases out there that, you know, are almost just seem too tough to crack?
Somebody with a very popular name can be very difficult to ascertain, is this the correct John Murphy or not?
And Maeve, how far would your research go back? You know, how far might you be looking back to track somebody down?
It completely varies from case to case. Births, marriages and deaths, civil registration of births, marriages and deaths started in 1864 in Ireland. So for everybody who was born, married or died in Ireland, there should be a civil birth, marriage or death since 1864. And indeed, non-Catholic marriages started to be recorded in 1845. So those would be the time frames. You also have church records that you can layer into the story as well, and also use to further the research.
And Maeve, I know we touched upon this earlier of the case, but I think a lot of people were shocked in recent weeks at the findings of that Mother and Baby Homes report, and, you know, the high levels of infant mortality, the mistreatment of some of these young pregnant women at these institutions.
So very sad.
So incredibly sad. And we do know that often in cases, women were separated from their children after birth. And as you mentioned in that case there, many, many children ended up in America or in foster homes. I noticed you'd said on social media that, you know, your organization would be willing to help people in that instance. What sort of assistance can you offer people who may have a connection to this? Because it's such recent history as well.
Exactly. Well, you know, for a lot of adopted babies, it's such a painful thing to not know your birth family. And we can certainly assist with trying to locate birth families, for sure. I suppose one difficulty has been where the adopted child was actually given no information whatsoever about their birth family. But now DNA is coming to the fore as another option, as another jigsaw piece to add to that puzzle, if you like. So it's always best if the adopted person can retrieve some, whatever records there might be on their file, from the institution where they were born or the adoption agency. And we can take that information and then track forward to try and find their birth family.
Wow, that's an amazing service. And how can people contact you if they'd like to get in contact with you, Maeve?
Yeah, absolutely. So our email address is contact@findersinternational.ie.
Oh, that's fantastic. Maeve, it has been such an interesting discussion speaking with you today on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks very much, Faye.
Thanks for listening to Your Best Self. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit the subscribe button or leave me a review.